But I did perfectly clear there was some that were trying to start a rumor that Brother Ray was wearing a pink shirt. This is not a pink shirt. You need to get your eyes checked. This is a white shirt with red stripes. Now, see, if you let it all run together, it could be that, but it's not. This is a white shirt. Could I get a witness? Could I get a witness that this is a white shirt with red stripes, or if you want to be contrary, a red shirt with white stripes? Either way, right? All right, forget it. I ain't never wearing this shirt again. That's it. We're done. Just forget it. This is not a pink shirt. Yeah, all right. All right, but that's okay. Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, and praise the Lord, Goodwill's just down from work. Not a problem. I'll exchange this one and get me a white shirt with purple stripes. All right. Luke chapter 23, and picking it up in verse 27. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. They know what's going to happen. They're crying. They're upset. They're crying out. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem. Who's he talking to? The Jews, no doubt about it. Daughters of Jerusalem. Weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Why? For behold, the days are coming. That's a promise. That's a promise from Jesus Christ. The days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear, in the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? Brother Henry, would you ask the Lord's blessing on the message this evening, please? Amen. Jesus says and asks this question, if these things be done in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? A green tree, that's a tree that's going to bear fruit. That's a tree that's alive. That's a tree that's accomplishing something. It's rooted and it's grounded and there's life proceeding from it. The Lord says, if they'll do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in a dry tree? You ever see the old Scooby-Doo cartoons with the music that starts on, dun, 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 ooh, and they show the pictures. You know what they show? Dark kind of pictures back in a bunch of dead, dry trees. That's always the picture in the horror. So why is that? That dry tree that's just got an old screech owl or a vulture sitting up in it, or an old crow or raven or something. You know, there's a picture of that old dry tree. And Jesus said, if they do these things in a green tree, in other words, if they'll do this in the good times, what do you think they're going to do in the bad times? And Jesus Christ, doctrinally speaking, prophetically speaking, is in Daniel's 70 weeks of prophecy. And the 69th week is getting ready to come to an end. And guess what follows that? The 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. The time of Jacob's trouble, the time we call the tribulation or the great tribulation that's coming upon the earth. And Jesus Christ is warning them about that time. And he says, hey, right now is the good times, but there's a time coming. It'll be a dry time. It'll be a time of death. It'll be a time of woe and destruction. And if these things, hey, if they will crucify the Son of God in the green tree, what will they do in a dry? And so the Lord's telling them, hey, don't weep for me. Now, why were they weeping for the Lord? Well, they knew what was coming. Simon the Cyrenian is bearing the cross after him, and they're leading Jesus Christ up the Mount Calvary. They know what's headed. He's going to go up there. They're going to take that cross. They're going to lay it down on the ground. And they're going to lay him down onto that cross. And those soldiers are going to wrap his hands and tie his hands on either side of that cross and then tie his feet. And then after he's bound real good, they're going to take big old nail about that long. And they're going to take that thing and they're going to take it right into his one hand, about right here. You know, in the Bible, that's your hand, right? Well, in a King James Bible, from here down is your hand. They're going to take that. That's why, see, when people get the mark of the beast and they get the mark of the beast on their wrist, they're going to say, oh, see, the Bible ain't true because it says hand. Well, in the King James Bible, that's your hand. That whole thing. Rachel had bracelets put on her hand. You read that, right, in the Bible? In the King James Bible, you could read that. You can't read that in the other Bibles. But you can read that in the King James Bible. That's part of your hand right there. You know, that right there is, we're going to take them nails. And they took that nail into Jesus Christ right there, that big old nail with a hammer in it. Poof! And the first part is pop, right through the wrist, just down into the wood a little bit. And then bam, bam, hammer it through a little bit more so it won't come off. And they take the other hand, do the same thing. Boom! Just set that thing real good about halfway through the flesh, and then bam, next time I'm all the way through, down to the wood, and bam, hit it again, and bind him down hard, and bam, that thing down hard. And that thing was a nail and just went in like a big wedge, and you couldn't pull it off. Once you're in, you're in. And then they do the same thing, and take his feet together through the one, and then through the other, right through those bones right there. A bone of him wasn't broken. They didn't break no bones, see, they went right through the bones, right in the middle, right there. That way it kind of holds you real good, you're pinned. You can't go anywhere. And then they take the feet and they do the same thing. And pow! And pow! And pow! And you got a quartarian Roman soldiers. You got 16 Roman soldiers taking care of business on this. By the time they get him up there like that, then you know what they're going to do. Then they're going to mock him. They're going to spit upon him. They're going to offer him gall and vinegar. Finally, usually they would break their legs on a day like that when they knew Passover was coming. And the idea on that cross was it was the most painful and cruel way to die. And that's why they used it for capital punishment. And what would happen is you would get up there, and eventually the way they would die is they would suffocate. And what they would do is they would hang. And they're hanging on those nails between the bones. You imagine what that felt like? And you're hanging there like that, or else you're pushing up on the feet. That's the only thing holding you up, is your feet and your hands on that cross, and they're kind of hung out like this, bowed out off the cross like that. And then they'd have to push up and endure the pain to get a breath of air. And then they'd go again, and then they'd have to get a breath of air. And they'd go on like for 3 days sometimes, that body trying to survive that thing, live that thing. And those women and those multitudes are seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that had come and ministered in their town, the one who had healed Jairus' daughter, the one that had raised people from the dead. And they're seeing him, and they know he's been falsely accused, and they see what they're doing to him. And they see him as they're heading him up Mount Calvary, and they realize everything that's going to happen to him when they send him up there. And they're weeping. And they're crying. And the Lord Jesus Christ looks to them and says, don't weep for me. You know what he just told them? What I'm getting ready to go through ain't nearly as bad as what you're fixing to go through. If they'll do these things, and crucify to themselves the Son of God, what are they going to do in the dry? And brethren, I'm here to tell you, dry time is coming. The tribulation's coming. We don't know when. We know it's soon. We don't know when. But when it comes, you talk about a dry time. And that time of dearth, that time of desertness, that parched, dry time is coming on this earth. People want good news. And I like to preach the gospel. I like to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. And the world is wanting good news. But brethren, any good news you get now, you better enjoy it, because there ain't nothing but bad news on the horizon. There may be some good times still ahead, I don't know, but sooner or later the good time is going to be over. And there's a time coming on this earth, a time that you cannot even imagine how bad it will be. And it's so bad that Jesus Christ looked at those people and said, "Don't cry for me, cry for yourselves if you knew what was happening. If you knew what would be coming your way, you'd be crying for yourself." Because he realized what was ahead for those Jewish people. He realized what was ahead for that time we call the tribulation. He said in verse 29, "For behold, the days are coming." That's a promise. They are coming. Dry days are coming. You think about how things are now, and I've heard people say, it's pretty rough out there, it's pretty bad. Hey, how bad you think it's going to be when the church is gone? When computers are running this world, and everybody's on drugs and doing everything, how bad you think it's going to be? If it's bad now, with the church keeps trying to stick its finger in the dike and hold things back, how bad you think it's going to get after we're all gone? I can't even imagine. I've tried to. All I know is it's going to be real bad. It's bad enough that the Lord said, "You ought not be crying for me. You ought to be crying for yourself. If these things be done in the green tree, what will be done in the dry?" I mean, when the atheists and the Satanists are running the show, brother, how bad you think it's going to get on this earth? You talk about tribulation. My. And I'll tell you, since the day I've gotten saved, you know what I've noticed? I've noticed it's been getting drier and drier and drier and drier since I've gotten saved. And buddy, guess what? We ain't seen nothing yet. This is still a green tree. And this stuff that's going on in this world right now, the filth and the wickedness and all that's about us right now is going on. How bad do you think it's going to get when the body of Christ leaves this earth at the rapture of the church? How bad do you think it's going to be? I mean, these days, you hear people mock God and make fun of God, and people don't fear God, and they say God's a woman, or God's a homosexual, and all the stuff that they're putting out there, and mocking God, and sucking off their cigarette and blowing it like they're blowing it in God's face, and making a toast to God, and all the other wicked, ungodly things that this world is up to and doing right now. They're going to do all that right now when the Bible's still out there being preached, when God's people are still, some of them, trying to live for God and do something. How bad do you think it's going to be when we're gone? And we are leaving. And I'm here to tell you, when we go, man, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. Somebody said, "Yeah, you nuts will be glad when all you nuts are, you know, all that stuff." I said, when all us nuts are gone, those squirrels are sure going to have a time of it. Amen. They're going to realize that was the only thing helping them out and keeping this thing going. Could you imagine what it would be like in the United States of America by now if it hadn't been for the Christians standing up and trying to fight some of this stuff that these one world order agenda people have been trying to get in, these progressives and everything? They've had an agenda for this country for over 100 years. They've been shoving and pushing and pushing and shoving. You need to get a hold of that and realize that. And the people that are doing that are the people that are deciding who your presidents are. Amen. The last time America voted in a president, it was Ronald Reagan. I just told you the truth. That's the last time you voted in who you really wanted. Since then, they've been selected for you. You can count on that. And it wouldn't have mattered if you had gotten the Democrat or the Republican. They already had their men picked out. Don't you realize who George Bush was? Reagan didn't want him as vice president. He had to agree to that just so that he could finally be president and try to do something to help this country. Thinking Bush was CIA, man. He was a CIA, Bilderberg, all one world government guy his whole life. And he set that thing up, and then they're the ones that decided to bring in Clinton after him. And then they decided to bring in his son after him. And they decided to bring in Obama after them. And the suckers out there arguing about Democrat, Republican, Republican, Democrat, they don't care about that stuff. They get you all fighting about that stuff, but they're getting done what they want to get done to bring in a one world government, and that's all they care about. And they're going to take away your liberties on the right, they're going to take them away on the left. George Bush took away your liberties, and Obama's taken away your liberties. How about that? They don't care which way they do it, as long as they get your liberties. And that's what they're out for. And that's, I'm getting off the subject, and I don't mean to, but I'm just letting you know right now, what things are going on now is nothing compared to what's coming upon this earth. Amen. If these things be done in the green tree, what will be done in the dry? Think about it, what he said there in verse 29, "For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear and the paps which never gave suck." I've heard people say, "Well, I just don't know if it's really good anymore to even bring a child into the world." You ever hear anybody say that? "Things are so bad out there, I just don't know if it's even a good idea anymore to have a baby or to bring up a child, try to bring up a child and raise a child in this wicked world that we're living in now." Hey, guess what? It's rougher now, yeah, in some ways to raise a child than maybe it's been in the past. Oh, well, but listen, you still see kids getting saved. You still see kids with smiles on their face and having a good time and running around and enjoying the things of God. You can still raise a family for God. Amen. In the day and age that you and I are living in, we're still seeing young people saved, still see them wanting to come out for teen night, still have a bunch coming in for vacation Bible school and youth camp. And hey, thank God for all that and all those opportunities to try to help out a young person and do something for. I want you to turn there with me to Matthew chapter 10. And there's still kids that have joy. Hey, there's still some young people that want to live for the Lord. Thank God. Praise God. There's still some young people out there that love God. There's still some young people out there that will stand up for righteousness and try to do right and try to have other young people do right. Thank God for those young people that are still trying to stand for Lord in these last days. And they're few and they're far between. But thank God for those that are still wanting to do it, still wanting to do something to try to please the Lord, put a smile on His face. And I'll tell you, that's we look at it now, and yeah, there's some rough times, and there's a lot of rebellion, and there is a wicked generation, and there's a lot of filth and stuff going on now.